Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. It is a blessing to be in the presence of the radio program one more day. I thank God for His grace upon my life. I thank God for His faithfulness in this ministry, Mission from the Heart. And I just thank God for just being alive in the land of the living, that I could be an instrument, as He has said, that we are His chosen vessels, an instrument to be used by Him for His purpose and His plan. And I just hope that is the desire of those that are listening tonight to the program. This is a different little program that we're going to be talking about and just kind of looking at the message during this season of Christmas in this particular month. And we are just going to look at the Christmas tree. And our message tonight is, who is this Christmas tree of life? And it came to me, the Lord just kind of revealed this to me over some time ago in my life, several years back, where I had some issues, some personal issues concerning all of the ruckus and the movement of this time and season of the year, Christmas. And I just could not understand why Christmas has gotten so commercialized and so materialized, and it appears as though it's lost its meaning, the true meaning of what Christmas should be about. And I just have to be honest and say that it really made me look at this season or this time of year in a negative tone. And I guess I could say I was missing the mark, because I was looking at it with my natural eye and not understanding it with my spiritual heart. And as God worked on me and worked on me over the years and over past times, reading different resources, digging in my scriptures, and just really allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what I needed to understand and what I needed to hold on to concerning this season that we call Christmas. So I wanted to share these thoughts and with what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me over times past, which brings me to today. And our topic concerning Christmas, focusing on the tree, but tying it all together to the real reason for the season, for the celebration of Christmas. And we celebrate His birth. And the tree is very significant concerning who we celebrate. So I just want you to pull up a chair, gather around the Christmas tree that may be in your home, and let's look past all of the glitter and all of the lights and all of the Christmas bulbs, and look past the beauty, and let's really look deeper, if you will, the Christmas tree that sits in our home. And let's look at it in light of Scripture from that view, and let's see how it brings us back to the tree of life. some of the fascinating things concerning Christmas trees, as we gaze at all of the illumination that reflects from it, it fascinates us to see how beautiful it appears when we dress it up, when we put all of the beauty to it. And even when we go out shopping for a live Christmas tree, or whether it be a fake Christmas tree, if you will, and we would go out shopping for a Christmas tree, looking for that perfect one that appeals to maybe the kids, or the size may be a concern to get it standing upright and not too tall. But we have our mind set to go and purchase a Christmas tree that we would gather around and decorate it for it to illuminate this beauty that we love to gaze at during this time of year. Well, the Bible focuses our attention on a particular tree mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. So if you could grab your Bible or your tablet or some, such as myself, on your cell phone and go to your Bible app, and in this new technology and age, go to your Bible app, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And before I read that verse, I want us to understand that when hearing teachings on the tree that we are going to look at in that particular verse, we hear more about one particular tree than the tree that I'm going to bring out passage. We hear more about the other than we do this one in our messages over our growing spurts, say in Sunday school, or some of the sermons that we have heard over our time of growing and being discipled. But this particular tree I want to focus on and use it as a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we celebrate or should be celebrating during this season. And that's what troubled me in the beginning of my walk in ministry. It troubled me on how the world went about Christmas as it was something that they had to hurry and go and do for someone that they hoped enjoyed the gift that they're purchasing for that individual. Now, I don't want to take away from what is fun, enjoyable, and connects families together and introduces traditions in some families concerning the holiday season or Christmas season. I don't want to take away from that, but I just want to look at it different perspective, biblical, and hopefully you will have an enjoyment of this and share this with your family, with your young ones, your children, your grandchildren, and that become a tradition in our families, that we tell the story of this particular tree that we address as a Christmas tree. But we will look at this other tree that sat in the middle of the garden. And we know that garden to be the Garden of Eden. So if you have your Bible, let's move through this lesson or this topic concerning who is this Christmas tree of life? So, looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, in your Bible, tablet, cell phone, and it reads this way. In this particular translation, I'm going to start with just verse 9 being our focus. And out of the ground, Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Keep that in mind. As well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Now, if you noticed in the title, who is this Christmas? Tree of life. And if you noticed in verse 9, it speaks about two trees in the middle of the garden. And it talks about the, it mentions the tree of life and the other tree that I made mention that we hear so much about in our sermons is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know what happened there. When Adam and Eve, of course, ate from that particular tree of knowledge and good and of the knowledge of good and evil, it led to the fall of man. But we're going to focus on this tree of life that somehow or another gets missed in this passage, or maybe just kind of ran over. And we focus on what happened from the other tree than we do on the tree of life. Now, I just want to bring out a very rich nugget. And listen to what it says in one of the commentaries that I use quite a bit in my study. And I like the way that it was mentioned. It says, the tree of life, which signifies the triune God embodied in Christ as life to man in the form of food. Now, if you remember, God said, you may freely eat of everything in the garden, and he gave a command, and that he commanded them to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's in verse 16 and 17 in the same chapter, chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And I'll read it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely. Verse 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of it you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And we've heard story after story concerning that particular tree. But I want to focus our attention on the tree of life. And it goes on to say in my commentary, it says, according to John 1, verse 1 and verse 4, life is in the Word. And we know that the Word of God is Jesus Christ, who is God himself. This life, the divine, eternal, uncreated life of God, is Christ. According to John 11, verse 25, John 14, verse 6, and Colossians chapter 3, 4a, who is the embodiment of God, according to Colossians 2 and 9. The tree of life grows along the two sides of the river of water of life, Revelation 22, verse 1 through 2. indicating that it is a vine. Since Christ is a vine tree, according to John 15, verse 1, and is also life, he is the tree of life. He was processed through incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection, that man might have life and live by eating him, according to John 10, verse 10b, John chapter 6, verse 51, 57, and verse 63. So if you noticed particular commentary, it makes mention that Christ, we know him as the vine tree. And we know that he is the tree of life. And when the Holy Spirit revealed this to me, over time, I struggled about the Christmas tree. But as he connected the dots and revealing to me that the tree really signifies Jesus Christ. And when we start looking at the Christmas tree in a natural sense, then it'll start making sense or taking shape, if you will. Now, again, who is this Christmas tree of life? And that's what I want to focus on, tree of life. So let's look at some names that we know in Scripture. Call him who he is. Jesus Christ is referred to by two specific names that we know, that we've heard, Jesus and Emmanuel. Now, there's hundreds of titles in the Bible concerning Jesus, but two specific names, Jesus and Emmanuel. And the reason why I want to bring this out is because tree of life is a title to who we know this is significant to, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Jesus is used as his given name in both Matthew and Luke, and we find in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it states that an angel told Joseph, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Now, in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, an angel speaks to Mary and states the same name. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Emmanuel is first mentioned Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And this is what it says: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That's Isaiah 7, 14. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, 23, uses this. The Lord. We had a technical difficulty, and I tell you, every time the enemy wants to destroy what God wants us to know concerning his son, Jesus Christ, here he comes, trying to kill, steal, and destroy what God is victorious over. So we are just going to pick right back up where I left off. And so Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, according to Isaiah 7:14, speaks about, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now, Matthew 1:23 uses this name in reference to Jesus as a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, God with us, according to Matthew 1:23. A wide variety of titles are used in relation to Jesus, and Tree of Life is just one of them. But Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, Jesus is often called Jesus Christ. And the word Christ meant anointed one. And I just want to bring this out in the lesson because I don't want anybody to misunderstand that Tree of Life is Jesus' name. No, his name is Jesus Emmanuel. But this Tree of Life brings our attention and focuses on who we should be focusing on during this season of Christmas, during this time of love and joy and sharing. So I just wanted to bring these names out that some of us are familiar with, that we've heard the word according to John 1:1. Jesus called the Word Son of God, Son of Man, Lord. The term Lord, often used in relation to Jesus, and referred to him as Master, our King, as Master, King. Again, there's many titles, but this one that I'm speaking of, the Tree of Life, is just one out of many. But don't misunderstand me. Jesus is our Christ. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So this brings me to my point. And my first point concerning this Tree of Life during this season that we call Christmas, and we are to be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, my first point that I want to show concerning this Tree of Life, the natural tree. Now, the natural tree being the Christmas tree that we purchase and we pursue it, some of us take time to go and look at that perfect tree. We touch it. We look how tall, to see how tall it is. We want it to be fluffy. We want it to smell the aroma of pine. We want it to be perfect in its appearance. And when we bring it home, it's such a joy. It's even a tradition for many of us in our family. And then we have all the pretty decorations, some that we've held over from generation after generation, some that have been made in elementary schools with our children, and we hold on to those valuable things that have meaning to us, and we place them on the tree. And we even get the beautiful lights, and we string the lights around the tree. And we even get that beautiful top piece to place on the top of the tree that will illuminate brightly. Some may use a star, some may use an angel, but it sits at the top of the tree. And I like to use a star that shines brightly. I love to see trees with beautiful lights and a beautiful star sitting at the top of the tree. We look at our Christmas tree, and some of you may be looking at your tree right now as we're on this program, and you sit and you look at how it illuminates, and we gaze at that. and we think back and reflect back on some times spent with our loved ones. And maybe our loved ones have gone on to meet the Lord or may live in a different city, but we reflect as we gaze at the natural tree, the tangible tree, the physical form of the tree. The Christmas tree is what I'm talking about. Well, let's shift gears here, and let's look at the tree of life in his naturalness, the natural tree of life. And think with me, the natural tree is Jesus Christ, who came as a baby. And it was prophesied that he would be coming. And let me just share some of the scriptures. Now, we know the story according to Luke chapter 2. And if you don't, if you haven't heard, I'm sure by now you've heard so many stories concerning the birth of Jesus Christ, which should be a tradition that needs to be implemented in our homes, if it isn't already. Tell the story of Jesus' birth and how he came through a virgin, but listen to some of the prophecies that were made mention of the coming of Christ. And I just found this, in addition to the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, to be even more of a gift to us. Isaiah 7:14, and for your study time, make note of this. Isaiah 7:14 refers to a child who will be born of a virgin and will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And this is what the verse says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6 likewise predicts this also. It says, it reads this way, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Micah 5:2, it predicts the exact location of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and it reads this way, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Zechariah 9:9 speaks of the Messiah riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And that's Zechariah 9:9. And then, according to John 12:14-15, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey the Sunday before his crucifixion, and you can read more about this in that particular chapter of John 12:14-15. Now, these are prophecies of the coming Christ. And listen to this one concerning Jesus' clothing being given away. Remember when they cast them as lots? Psalms 22:16-18 speaks about that. For dogs encompass me, is what Psalms 22:16. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They snare or stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Matthew 27:35 notes, and when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. And we see these prophecies of the coming of Jesus Christ. Make note of it in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 7. And it speaks about the suffering servant and how he will suffer. According to Psalms 41, verse 9, it's also speaking of Jesus, who was betrayed. Listen to what it says. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Jesus would later be betrayed, as we know, by Judas Iscariot in this way. We know that story concerning Judas. And then, not to mention the disciples, when he was carried off in a mock court. And we know about Peter, who denied him three times. And you can read this in the scriptures according to John chapter 13, 21 through 27. Speaks about that. Jesus, and only Jesus, is the prophesied Messiah who ultimately provided himself as the Christ by his resurrection from the dead. This is our Jesus. This is the tree of life who was prophesied of coming, and he's coming again. He's coming to redeem his bride. So before I move to the end, I want to focus on the first point, the natural tree. We saw how the Christmas tree and how we prepare it, how it comes into the home, how we go and choose that tree, and how the natural birth of Jesus Christ was predicted and the story told in Luke chapter 2 concerning his birth through a virgin and how he came into this world. You can read that. My second point is the divine tree. And this speaks about the ministry and the death of Jesus Christ. The ministry and death of Jesus Christ. Now we know Jesus came into this world to demonstrate to us how we are to live according to the commandments that were laid down for us. But because of our sin nature, God knew we would struggle, and he gave us a way out, and that is through Jesus Christ. He gave us a way out through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, of course, is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. Now, remember, we're talking about the tree of life. He is the life. There's no other way to the Father, only by him, Jesus Christ. And his ministry as we read through the Gospels on how he blessed so many people with sight to the blind. He made the dumb speak, the lame walk. He casted out demons. He turned water into wine. And he gave us a commandment, two commandments. Love thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength and mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. The ministry of Jesus Christ is to love. We know what he's done. We've read gospel after gospel after gospel. It's been prophesied. It goes all the way back to the garden in Genesis, the tree of life. He was born through a virgin, and he came in natural flesh. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the flesh, and he walked before men. He ministered, and he gave us commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, this is Christmas in fleshly form. This is Christ celebration, Christ Mass, tree of life. And his ministry led him to a cross, to another tree called the cross. On Golgotha's hill, where he was hung, he bled, and he died. Remember, they prophesied that he would be pierced, that his clothes would be cast as lots, that he would come and be the redemption of our sins, the salvation for our sins. He paid it all for us to have eternal life. And according to John 1, verse 29, it reads this way. For you note takers, John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Now that explains, that lets us know that we have life in this particular tree. This is the only tree that we have life in. He comes to take away the sin of the world. He went to the cross for us. He died on the cross for us, on that old rugged cross. The tree of life died on a tree. Call it the old rugged cross. We sing that hymn in church from time to time. Where he did, he hung. He bled for the sins of the world, according to John 1:29. But he conquered death. He rose from the grave on that third day. He conquered. Of hell could not prevail. Think about it. The tree of life. I'd like for you to turn to John 1:1. John 1:1 is just a beautiful verse that really makes things so easy to understand, I think. And it reads this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the triune God. He was in the beginning with God. And we know that according to Genesis. Let us, is what it says. And remember, the tree of life signifies Jesus as being life, the light of the world. There's life in him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And I like to think of it this way, and this is my own little way. In the beginning was the tree of life. We read that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. But it even goes further than that in Genesis. But in the beginning was the tree of life, and the tree of life was with God, and the tree of life was God. The tree of life is the gospel of life. We know that. The light of the world, the star of David, according to Revelation 22:16. The living water, according to Revelation 22:17. The bread of life. You can find this in John chapter 6, verse 51. The true vine. John 15:1. Let's read John 15:1. We'll just move right on over from chapter 1 to 15:1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or some translations may say husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is the true vine, and the believers in the Son, that's S-O-N, are the branches that shine bright from the tree of life to express the riches of his divine life. And I hope I'm not confusing you, but just allow the Holy Spirit to reveal that all of this that I've talked about concerning the tree of life, concerning the true vine, the bread of life, it all points to Jesus. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And I love the way it says that the branches. Now, keep in mind the picture of the tree, the Christmas tree that might be in your very home. The Christmas tree, as you look at the tree, and you see the branches of the Christmas tree, those branches symbolize us as believers producing fruit from the tree. And remember, in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Well, this is what we are called to do as believers in Christ Jesus. We are to exemplify the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are to carry his call. this is a season of rejoicing. This is a season of celebration. But we are not to get caught up in all of the hustle and bustle of what the world has classified Christmas as. The scriptures have predicted, they have come to manifestation according to Luke chapter 2, and we know that according to John 1:1, we read that the Word was God. In the beginning, the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And how we miss the mark in getting so caught up in rushing to the stores or buying the gifts, and we do not talk about the true gift, the perfect Lamb who died on that cross, a tree of life hung on a tree and died to pay the sin of the world. Our Redeemer, our Savior, and we are to extend and express the story concerning the tree. Concerning the tree. The tree of life. The branches. That's you and me. Believers in Christ Jesus. We are to produce fruit. We are fruit-producing branches. And we are to continue to drop seeds of life from the tree of life into our neighbors. If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind and strength, then it should propel you to produce some fruit from that tree of life, that others will come into knowing who this tree is. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. So understanding that the natural tree being Christ in human form, in flesh, God-man, God in the flesh, walked amongst us. And he took on the form of a natural man, experienced what we experience in our circumstance, in our loss, in our pain, in our joy. And he ministered to the lowly, the sick. He saved us from death, eternal, by hanging on the cross, dying for our sins, that we may have right to the tree of life, according to Revelation. Which brings me to my last point, and that is the eternal tree. The eternal tree, which brings us right back to the tree of life. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He is life eternal for us. That when we come in to knowing Jesus Christ and we confess that we are a sinner, that we are lost without him, that we need a Savior who died on that cross, that he is our gift that God gave to us. And I've heard some say that he is the gift that keeps on giving. I like to think of that as him being the tree of life the body of Christ are the branches, and we produce the life-giving gift, the seed, the Word of God, extending Jesus to others, our neighbor. Love God first and love your neighbor, that they would become more branches of this tree of life that we call Christmas during this season. And I just wanted to express how important it is to maintain focus on the real reason for this season, and that is the tree of life, Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. He brings sight to the blind. He brings deliverance. He is our provider. He is our healer. And he is our restorer. If you need a revival, call on him. His name is Jesus, the tree of life, the true vine, the star of David, the living water, Emmanuel. He is Jesus. So if you want to be a branch of this tree of life that produces fruit, the light that so shines brightly, then I invite you to accept, confess that you're a sinner if you are not saved. And for those of you who are listening, help a brother or a sister out, that you would pray with them, pray for them, and that you would invite them into the family of Jesus Christ, that we could become a beautiful city like that star that sits brightly on the tree in our homes called the Christmas tree, that we become the light of the world. Jesus is the light, but we are the stream of light that shine brightly in a dark world. And God is the vine dresser. He is the supplier. And I just invite you to bow your head right now. If you're struggling in an area, bow your head and call on the name of Jesus and accept him as your deliverer, as your healer, as your way maker. He will fight every battle in your life. Loneliness, he is your fulfiller. He fulfills every void in your life. Call on the name of Jesus. Let's pray and invite Jesus into your heart. Father God, I just pray for someone that may not know you in the pardoning of their sins. Lord, you said if we confess that we are a sinner and admit that we are lost without you, that you would come into our hearts and save us from our sins. You died on that cross for us to be saved, that we would have eternal life, a right to the tree of life, that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we would become new and walk in the newness of life. Lord, I pray with my brothers and sisters right now and many of those around the world who are praying for the lost, that they come into the ark being you and cleave to the tree of life, that they would become branches that shine brightly. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope that you do not walk away from this time or this season not knowing who he is. He is the tree of life, and he promises that you will have eternal life if you just believe. If you accept him and believe by faith, you are saved by his grace. Well, this brings us to the close of this program. Who is this Christmas tree of life? I hope that you have a little better understanding like I did, or I do now, as I moved through the message and the Holy Spirit just revealed this story to me concerning that tree that sat in the midst of the garden along with that other tree called the knowledge of good and evil. But you can rest assured that the tree of life, when you eat the bread of life and you drink of the living water, you will live forever. So thank you for listening, and I hope that you share this season with loved ones and get around people that come together as a body of Christ, that we eat good food and just share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the message of the season, of the reason, and that's Christmas, Christ celebrated. And let's have a celebration. Thank you for listening to Mission from the Heart Radio. I'm so forever grateful, and I hope that you join us again on next Thursday, and we will have a delight time walking through the pages of the Bible. Always remember that the word, that the flowers fadeth, the grass withereth, but the word of God, it will remain forever and ever. Thank you again for listening to Mission from the Heart Radio, and you have a wonderful and beautiful and enjoyable Merry Christmas.